Welcome back to another episode of Tips and Tricks with your favorite destination coach, Danielle Shelton. All right, so tonight I have another Podmatch match, and I am so glad that Podmatch is working for me. It has matched me up with Mr. John Mendez. How are you doing, John?
Danielle, I'm super excited to be here, and I'm super excited to see where our conversation takes us today.
Okay, all right, so tell us a little bit about yourself. What is it that you do?
Yes, so I'm the host of the Walk to Wealth podcast, where I enlighten and empower young adults to build wealthy, abundant lives. And that's my primary focus. But if you read my bio, it says a lot of other fancy stuff. I hired somebody to make it look super nice. But I also am a licensed realtor. I teach social media as well to real estate professionals. And I currently work at the restaurant on the side as well. So I'm doing a couple of things, but my main focus is really helping young people through the podcast.
Okay, so when you talk about helping young people, I'm going to tell you what happens, right? In our current day social media world, this is what happens and what they see. They see, oh, I have $3. I'm broke. Oh, I'm homeless. Someone gave me $5. I'm a millionaire. And then it's like, what?
Yeah.
What happened? So since you work with the youth, I'm pretty sure you have a lot of stories about the middle. So can you tell me your origin story for your podcast?
Yeah, so pretty much how it all came together. So a little bit of context. So I grew up in a project. So it was 9 of us in a 2-bedroom. Mom suffered from mental health issues. So as a kid, those things are like super hard to grasp. I just knew that she wasn't the mom I needed or wanted her to be. And as a kid, I didn't understand so much later on, but it caused us to not get along. Dad was absent growing up, so my grandparents who immigrated here from DR, Dominican Republic, for anyone that doesn't know, raised me. So I get my flair, my swagger from my grandpa. He put a lot of that Dominican in me. And so Okay. Money was always tight growing up. We had Section 8, the government assistance, the whole nine yards, but I never let that be something that was a crutch or a cripple to me. And as I started growing up, I was never born. Let me rephrase that. I wasn't your typical entrepreneur. And I didn't have the lemonade stand. I wasn't selling cards or selling sneakers or selling candy bars in school growing up. So for me, how I kind of got down into this road is during the pandemic, I was in college at the time. I was a sophomore at UConn. And I ended up stumbling across a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a book that a lot of people in the personal finance world just happen to preach. And the book is a really good book. I wouldn't consider it a great book, but for someone that is just getting their feet wet, it plants the seed in a way that is easy to grasp and doesn't really make you feel too offensive. Because when you find out about these different ways of viewing the world, you tend to get a little skeptical, put your guards up, and did so in a way where it's like, oh, okay, there's another way of viewing the world out there that wasn't being taught at home and wasn't being taught at school and also wasn't being taught in my environment. So me being a curious person that I am, I ended up jumping into this personal finance rabbit hole and watching YouTube videos and getting in about my fair share of courses as well. And I ended up deciding to leave college and pursue entrepreneurship because with the whole world being uncertain at the time, the only thing I was certain of was myself. And so that's how I kind of got into it. And fast forward some months on from then, one of my boys was like, hey, John, maybe we should start a podcast. And I was like, you know what? That'll be a good idea because me and him always talked about life and goals. You know, one of those friends you could just chop it up with about life, goals, things you wanted to accomplish. He also knew a thing or two about investing. So he was one of my only friends as well that was into personal finance and things like that already. And so I was like, okay. He was going back to college at the time. I was working 70 hours and taking my real estate classes. I was about to get licensed around that time. So our schedules didn't match up. And I knew I still wanted to move forward because I didn't want to wait until I was quote unquote successful start giving back. I wanted to document the journey in real time while I was still starting my journey and embarking on my own journey. And I was also had the opportunity to meet tons of amazing people. So I was like, okay, let me just think of a name. Ended up procrastinating for about 4 months. And then long story short, I came up with Walk to Wealth. And the story behind the name is for the 99% of us that aren't overnight sensations, it's a long walk to wealth. And some may walk faster than others, but what good is sprinting to the finish line if you pass out when you cross it?
Wow. I love that. What good is sprinting if you pass out when you cross it? I love that. And I'm going to tell you why I love that. that and why I always ask that question, especially to my entrepreneurs, because as a life coach and as a former educator, I was always tasked with those who were very impatient of the process. They want to just get to it. I just want to get there. I just want to make money. And I'm like, there's a process involved. And what I am finding with people now is that they are losing themselves in the process. They are hurting themselves in the process. Some of them have, you know, even taken their own life in the process because they're not willing to see it through to the other side. So when I talk to my entrepreneurs, I want my listeners out there that are entrepreneurs and that are new at business to know that your success didn't happen within a day, that it was a process and it happened over time. And you were putting steps in place to help it happen over time. So I need for my audience to know it's gonna happen, but give it time to mature and give it time to develop, because it matters if you give it time. All right, so John, share with me your Stop and Share Media. What is that?
Yeah, so little correction, it's Stop and Stare. So the whole idea came from really, no worries, an extra letter or two isn't gonna hurt anybody. But the whole idea came from, I was in real estate. Now, fast forward a little bit from the journey, right? And now I'm in real estate. I have my license and I'm in this mastermind call from 6:30 a.m. to 7 a.m. Normally in the gym at that time. And so I never get to share. One of the days they were talking about social media and I was like, okay. At that point in time, I wasn't using it strategically for marketing purposes, but I knew a thing or two just from growing up with it socially. Mm-hmm. And I ended up making a quick like 5 tips for social media. And I posted it via Facebook, because as I said, I was in the gym at that time, so I couldn't share. And from there, one of the hosts of the call ended up saying like, hey, John, do you mind teaching a class on this? And instead of saying yes, I said, I never taught a class before. And instead of her being like, okay, never mind, she was like, John, let us know when you want it scheduled. And I was like, oh, well, I can't say no twice, because she's also a top agent out in Boston. So I was like, I can't fumble the bag twice. So I was like, let me just figure something out and put it together. What I know from just growing up with this stuff, most of the realtors that I know are all close to like double or triple my age. And so it's like, I probably know a thing or two more than they do, although I don't think it's anything special. They might will. So I decided to put a class together. Now, this is January of 2022. And in February of 2022 is Family Reunion, which is the biggest Keller Williams conference that they hold every year. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to teach my class the week before, because I know the week of, everyone's going to be too busy. I also knew that I was going to be attending the conference myself. So I was like, I'll teach it the Friday before. I knew the Sunday of the conference that weekend, the group that I was with, they were going to have a mastermind like meeting, like a networking offsite event. And I was like, okay, everyone in that group knows me by my curly hair. One of my biggest pet peeves, and you probably know growing up in our community, is like, I don't like when people touch my hair. That is
that's a whole other podcast.
I know. So I won't go all into it. So what I did was like, okay, I'll teach this class on social media. Then I'll see everyone in person and they're all going to, cause this is the first time we're all meeting. At least I'm meeting all of them. So it's like, this is my first time meeting them. They're just like, oh my goodness, Johnny, I love your class. Let me take one step further. I also want to have like something where it's like, people can remember me, because networking, leaving an impression is extremely important when you go to big networking events like that. Like that conference had like 10,000 people. It was a big conference. So it's like, with all those people, how could you stand out? You have to find what makes you unique. I was like, everyone knows me by my hair. I already have a thing. So I ended up going on customink.com and I created a shirt that says, stop and stare, just don't touch the hair, with my logo on it. And that's pretty much, it was a hit. So the class ended up getting like 440 people sign up. I ended up seeing a lot of those people in person. And they all loved the class. They loved the hair. They loved the shirt. So it all like came together. And then from there, I just started teaching social media classes for them. And now I'm at a point where I'm actually teaching a class next Thursday from where we're recording it. And the first several classes were free, just because honestly, I didn't feel worthy charging. And that was something I had to work on within.
You had to hone your skill.
Not even just that, but just like, it was something where it's like, when you're not having a lot of money, it's like, you don't feel okay receiving money for whatever reason. And that's what I found. So I was like, so I was like, I had to get over that belief. And it wasn't until like, they literally, my second class, it was on intro to TikTok, like super beginner level. And it wasn't until the end of that class that they were like, John, like literally one of the master, the other host of the mastermind, she's a 7-figure real estate agent down in Baltimore. She was like, John, do not ever do another one of these without charging ever again. You put too much time and value and effort into this for you not to be getting compensated. And I was just like awkwardly smiling and not knowing what to do because it's not something that's like, I've never really been, I mean, I had jobs before, but I've never been kind of like paid to help. That's how I seen it. So it wasn't until then. And then around November of 2022 was when I actually decided to make it an actual like quote unquote business. And then that's where Stop and Stare Media came from. The Stop and Stare, just don't touch the hair.
I love that. You know what? And you and I have a lot in common in that because I taught for so long and I was in the classroom. Anytime I feel like most educators have multi-level skills, right? Because those are things that you have to use in the classroom. And I learned through LinkedIn, stop giving away your stuff for free. And I'm like, this has been my career. These things that you're asking me to charge for are things that I just naturally do because that's just what I naturally, so it felt very odd to start to charge people for building a class or for consultations or for people want to pick your brain. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't mind giving them an idea. And people are like, yeah, they're taking your idea and they're charging other people for it. Like charge them for the idea. So it really was difficult for me to figure out when to charge. And then when I did start charging, it was like, what do you charge? Mm-hmm. What feels like a fair price? So then I kind of like undercut myself because I was like, I don't know. I feel kind of strange. But then when you start to look at the benefit and the payoff of your time and of your efforts and of your work that you put in, then you start to realize your value and what you give is valuable. Then it starts to be like, oh, okay, let me reassess some things to make sure that I can pay myself well, because this tool is helping people. So because this is tips and tricks, I always like for my guests to like, give me like a quick tip for, let's say I'm starting a social media marketing plan and I don't know where to start. My daughter used to say she wanted to create a vlog and document her campus experience, but she wants to get paid or she wants to get sponsorships. What do you say, like, what's the first step? Now you don't have to go through everything, but what tips can you give or what steps can you give to say this is something that you can do that's very basic that can help you with either sponsorship or marketing?
Yeah, so for the marketing part of it, it's something I can definitely speak on. And I'll give you a quick step-by-step game plan, super quick, super easy that anyone can do. Step number one, your ideal avatar. Not just the demographics and race, the socioeconomic status, whatever, but like, what are their hobbies? What do they listen to? Music, podcasts, what celebrities do they like? Get to know them. Find somebody in your circle already, in your sphere that most resembles your ideal avatar that you drew up and interview them. Figure out what it is. Maybe a past client or maybe a friend. For me, my podcast ideal avatar was a guy I used to play football with he's a year younger than me. So when I was a senior, he was a junior. So once I started getting more intentional, I just started talking to him more like, yo, what you got going on in your life? Find that ideal avatar. Step number two, let's say you're in social media, go on answerthepublic.com. It's free to use. Look up social media, right? Or whatever keyword, insert whatever keyword that you, whether it's real estate, social media, whatever, social media, Answer the Public will generate you a bunch of different questions that people are Googling online. It'll aggregate that information for you. So now you don't have to worry about what do I post or what do I talk about. You have the entire, what people are searching for there. What you didn't want to do is go open up ChatGPT, tell it, because ChatGPT is based off of context. So feed it the information about your ideal avatar, right? So it has some context, and then take the question and say, create a 30-second, create a 60-second, create a 5-minute video outline, whatever length you want it to, on insert question from Answer the Public. And there you can start making and generating videos and content for your social media business, or if you want to do that for other people and charge them, and that's step by step right there, easily how you can start creating content for social media.
I didn't even know that ChatGPT was available for everyone. This is how far removed I am. I heard about it, and then I was like, oh, okay. And then I didn't even know that there was something that people were currently using, let alone using to help them with their marketing.
Yeah. And it's something that's, as I said, it's free. And another quick tip too, I want to add, because we spent a lot of time today talking about feeling valuable and worthy of charging for something. There's a line that you could throw in whenever you're presenting to someone. It's the, I had two choices. The first choice is I could either charge you guys very little and try to feed everyone. But then the line is, that wouldn't incentivize me to stack the value for it. The second choice I have is I could charge a little bit more and put more value into it. But of course, it would be not available to everyone. But it incentivizes me to put more value into it. So one rule of thumb that I guess you could say when starting off is find out what's the alternative. For example, let's say you're charging for a social media agency. You have a course. Let's say your course is $497. You're trying to justify the price of your social media course. Well, how much does it cost for a social media company, agency to run your content? Any good agency, they're going to be charging you several thousand bucks a month to handle all your social media stuff. Right. So sometimes it's not about the value that you're bringing, and sometimes it's the cost that you're saving them from. Right. You can anchor that as well. Like, what are you saving them from? Or let's say they have clients. Let's say one client is worth $1,000 and it takes 5 hours to get one client, but it also takes 5 hours to make some videos. So it's like, I handle your videos for $500. That way you can get a client in that same time period. Now you made $1,000 because you're focusing on getting the client instead of doing the social media stuff, because I handled that for you. And see, the value there is you just made double on your money, because you could either be trying to create the video on your own and wasting your time, or you could have leveraged that out and then the cost. So you could either leverage and use the cost it will take for the alternative as an anchor, or you can use the cost of how much you would make if you were to use a client as the anchor, and then use that to kind of justify your price.
Wow, that is so much knowledge and so many good steps. I am so glad that we finally got a chance to meet up and to talk, because this was so, like, this is good for me, and I'm definitely I can't wait to put this episode out, because this is going to help so many people, especially my social media gurus, who they really are like, how do I do it? What can I do? What's the first step? I didn't even know anything about this Answer the Public. Like, hello, that's golden. So I think thank you so much for those resources, because they will absolutely be used. Thank you for letting me know, pulling me out of the ice age, the stone age, and letting me know that ChatGPT is actually being used. Because I was like, oh, I read about it, but I don't even know if anybody's using it. Of course they are. So thank you. But before I close my show out, I like to turn the tables on myself. Sometimes guests have questions, sometimes they don't, but I always give them the opportunity to turn the tables on me. And if you have a question for me, to ask a question. So if you don't, that's fine. But if you do, I am open and available. So is there a question that you have for me?
What would you do if you could not fail?
What would I do if I could not fail? I don't know, because failure has been such a big part of my journey. If I could not fail, I really don't know. That's a really good question. And that's a question that has stumped me. What would I do if I could not fail? I probably, if I could not fail, would really be coaching and writing so many manuals and books. I really would be leading people into a healthy mindset. I'm tasked with the middle, the people who are stuck, those stuck people in the middle, and they don't see any other way. So if there was no way to fail at all, and money was not an issue, I would absolutely grab those people and I would use resources to be able to pull some people out of the middle just so they last long enough to know that there's another side and just hold on, push through. So that's what I pretty much would be doing what I'm doing.
Just at a much larger scale, right?
Yeah. Like what I'm doing right now is what I would be doing, except I wouldn't have any lessons learned because failure is kind of where I learned all my stuff. That's what I did. So anyway, John, thank you so much for sitting with me, talking with me, sharing your time with me. This has been an excellent episode. Thank you so much for all of your resources. Do you have any last words for the guests before we close out?
The last thing that I'm going to add in there, as I said, because we've been talking about charging your worth and value, the last thing I'll add is sometimes when you want to charge your value, you have to increase your perceived value. So think of ways, whether that's through storytelling, whether that's through networking, whether that's through connections. But once you find ways to increase your perceived value, your stuff will begin to sell itself.
Wow, that's good. Listen, y'all. I don't know about anybody else getting those good nuggets, but I'm getting them today, okay? All right. Thank you so much, John, for coming on Tips and Tricks. This has been another episode of Tips and Tricks Podcast with your favorite destination coach, Danielle Shelton and John Mendez. See you guys later.